And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Once again, hello and a very warm welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Adairin Jenkins.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Today on the show, we catch up with Bobby Pickard from Trans in the City.
And shares back with another coffee break.
And Eurovision. What an ending.
If you saw it.
No, I didn't. Sorry, guys. Mine fills us in.
All today, right here on Shout Out.
I still got it. Yeah.
I think I'm in there.
Welcome back, Adairin.
Thank you, guys.
I'm glad you've been on some travel.
I've been international.
Like a gap year?
I wouldn't say gap year because it was only 6 months, but like maybe half a gap year. I really found myself.
Did you?
On the slopes of Japan.
A stained glass?
Yeah, thanks.
Because that's why you go to the slopes of Japan.
Yeah, I clipped in my skis and I found my aura. That's it. Anyways.
Did you like channel your chakra?
I aligned my chakras.
I'm so pleased.
So hard. It's crazy. Anyways.
It's amazing to have you back with your chakra
Thank you. I missed you awesome.
We missed you very much, actually. And it was wonderful to bump into you earlier today. And now you're here.
I jump scared us.
You did?
I was like, whoop. But you didn't expect to see me.
Yeah, looking at t-shirts and what? Yep. There you were.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Andy's so, like us. There are other people
yeah,
here.
Right. Hi, Andy. How are you today?
I think the sunshine might have come out.
I think I just got in a flow state there.
Yeah.
Is this just like because you've been saving it up for the months you've been away?
I think I'm just like, I didn't realise the battery that was building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm and how much charged. You missed us.
I'm fully charged. Guys.
Good.
I'm ready to roll. Yeah.
How are you, Andy?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, Andy, I'm good. Sorry, yes, I'm liking the fact that the weather's getting better. I don't know if you've seen that the weekend is going to be a scorcher.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
It is my birthday on Sunday, and I
Happy
think
birthday.
That's why.
21 again?
Oh.
Yeah. Can you not tell my skin is fresh as a daisy?
It looks like you've been on a beach in Japan.
Yes, because I've been using sun cream, actually, guys. I really care about my skin health. Anyway, my point is, I think I've welcomed this weather in because I've been like, it's actually, we need to be sunny for my birthday.
Yeah.
And also it's a Maybach holiday, right?
Yes. It is.
Mm. Yes.
Yes.
Nice to have a lovely hot bank holiday.
I forgot until 2 days ago. I had to rearrange all of my work next week. But you know, such fun.
You forgot it was a bank holiday?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
How can you forget a bank holiday?
To be fair, they actually kind of sneak up. Like there wasn't.
We've had a lot of sneakies.
Yeah. I think May is a time.
It does the same every year.
I do think that May is the one that everyone gets caught out on every year.
Because we think they're done.
Yeah, you do. You're like, right. It's done.
It's when you retire, you forget what day of the week it is, apparently.
Yeah.
Steph?
I wouldn't know.
Steph, what year is it?
I've lost count. There's just so many.
Steph, stop buying
anyway,
calendars.
We got a lot of serious stuff coming up in
yes,
the
we
show.
Have. Yeah.
We're going to kick it straight off with a bit of a catch-up with the lovely Bobby Pickard. Have a listen to this.
Hi, I'm Bobby Pickard, Chief Executive of Trans in the City. The voices that you'll hear in a moment are those of trans and non-binary people I interviewed in 2025 and 26, and I asked them to be as honest as possible. The answers I received were brutal and frank about trans people's existence in 2026. They contain references to suicide, suicidal ideation, and eating disorders. You might find the following shocking. You should do.
The only place I feel safe and can relax is my home.
everywhere else, I have to always be alert and ready for abuse.
To be a non-binary person in the UK at the moment is quite scary.
I was always told as a child, when you grow up, the world will be better.
I feel like I want to cry, or like if like some part of me is like breaking down.
I'd love to live somewhere where I can just be me and left alone, see no one ever again.
And there is no other way to say it, but it is a tough time for trans people at the moment, and it's hard not to lose hope.
It starts damaging your own mental health and physical health, and in my case, it has. And I hate that it's done that, and I hate that it's taken away so much of me.
I've had some horrible abuse just for being me. I've had the most horrible things said to me. Death threats, being told I'm a freak or a threat to others. I've been spat on and shouted at in the street.
Because experience has taught us that it isn't safe or comfortable to be openly different from what society considers the norm.
I don't know if someone will be friendly to me or if they will be hostile.
I've had credible death threats, which I've had to take to the police with my location being identified.
I've spent so much of my life not wanting to be here, and even though things are so much better now I've transitioned, I still think about it most days. I'm happy being alive now, happy being me, but I won't be sad when it's over.
On a day-to-day basis, I don't feel safe at all. I spend more time worrying about what's going to happen than actually just getting on with the day.
I get scared when I'm sat in a cafe sometimes because I hear people talking about the quote-unquote trans issue whilst I'm sat behind them.
It's a very high possibility that they will make remarks that can be hurtful.
I don't drink anything to avoid or to minimise needing to go to the toilet.
The rhetoric now is so toxic and so ingrained.
I've been spat on, I've had things thrown at me, I was kicked to the ground.
Not many people seem to care that my and my friends' mental health is being destroyed, that people I know are taking their own lives.
We seem to be moving backwards, and that is horrifying.
I'm so aware of who's watching me, and I am constantly watching my back, afraid of who's judging me, who is following me, who's watching my movements.
I don't feel safe when I'm not around people that I know.
I've had people call me all the names under the sun, just when I'm out walking around, including in front of my daughter.
There seems to be a smaller and smaller group of people that care.
I've had people across the street to avoid me.
As a result of being outed, I again attempted to take my own life.
I just can't help but wonder where is safe.
I'm not as valuable a member of the society as others.
There's so much that needs to change before I could feel like life is worth living.
I feel like a second-class citizen in my own country. It's a country I've served in all sorts of ways, both in military and civil service for many years.
I don't always dress the way that I want anymore because I'm scared of, if I do, what's going to happen.
I don't feel I'm living at all. I am surviving.
Like, I feel like I always be a failure. It has crushed my soul.
If I had a choice to be here or not, I would rather not.
We are just seen at best as an inconvenience that needs to be hidden or removed. I don't feel valued in this society. I think people see me and my community as the lowest of the low, scum.
It's dancing at the edge of the cliff.
I've spent my entire life hiding from who I am, running away from who I am, and finally living now.
Trans people have always existed. We will continue to exist.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you. Coffee Break on Shout Out Radio.
And welcome back to another Morning Coffee with me, Shay Coffee. Perhaps the best way to understand what is going on in America right now is to talk to some of the people who are struggling with the trans laws that have been brought in, the way that they are using to control and stop them. I've asked a couple of people who we're working with if they would be willing to come on and talk about it. And the first person, her name is Shim. She doesn't want to come on, but she does want her story told. And she sent me, well, there's a lot to get through, so bear with me. First, a bit about my background, which complicates our situation. I am also trans and disabled, and I am receiving disability benefits in Canada. I have diagnosed dissociative disorder. I am also autistic, so I do apologise if this is long-winded. I also have chronic migraine and chronic fatigue syndrome, currently managed by medication, sunglasses, and as much rest as I can find. At the border, my disability benefits were stated by the officer as a reason I could not support my spouse's visit. Now, Shim's spouse wanted to come and visit. They are a US citizen, and as you can tell, they've stopped by the border. My spouse's background. They were living in southern US, a state which currently it is illegal to fly the pride flag. I think we know which one that is. They've also been subject to lifelong abuse by their mother, constant and some physical, and also consistently have had their basic rights neglected or controlled, such as the removal of food and rest. This culminated in their teenage years when it was discovered they were queer and they were thrown into isolation and threatened with conversion therapy or even an institution. They were taken to a Christian therapist by their mother, where it was wrongly claimed, among other things, that they had had a partner threaten their life. My spouse was under constant surveillance and kept from expressing their preferred gender until they were 18, which they then had to do in private for their safety. They also did not have any medical agency, which is the story for many. Culminating in 2020, during the pandemic, my spouse was prevented from getting a COVID vaccination and forced into close proximity with those who had COVID, and ended up with what we believe is long COVID, with symptoms of severe fatigue and chronic nerve pain. When they were sick for months and could not breathe well, they were gaslit and not taken to a doctor. They were also prevented from taking any medical, any prescribed medication for the majority of the time they lived there. They were unable to drive nor stand very long, so could not get anywhere on their own. When my spouse got help from friends to go to the doctor and fill a prescription, this remained a point of contention. This ultimately is the straw that broke the camel's back when in March they were accused of taking hard drugs, and what they were taking was two very old safe medications for nerve pain and regulating heart rate. My spouse's chronic pain and disability was constantly dismissed and outrightly disbelieved, and they began to push them to do work to the point that they could not move or even stay awake. This is the very essence of controlling behaviour and, unfortunately, to a certain extent, some forms of conversion therapy. My spouse mentioned once that they might want to move to Canada, and their mother said they would not give them their passport. I was on the phone for one episode and I truly could not go on. I heard my spouse's family careen into their room to hurl insults and guilt trips for every time they asked for afternoon rest or to get help with a task. When I arrived to rescue them and their things with a group of supporters and witnesses, their mother had hidden or destroyed most of their IDs. She also manipulated my spouse into entering a closet and would have locked us both inside had I not stood with my foot in the doorway and a group of allies nearby. She and other family members tried to physically separate us and bar my spouse from leaving. And when my very articulate and empathetic spouse put her foot down in an elegant way, their mother claimed they had been coerced by the rest of us. This is not touched on the structural problems in the US that prevent them from finding help. They did manage to get a degree during this time and have joined a queer support group. However, following demonstrations and hate groups on campus targeting trans students and policies and law changes, this group could no longer claim to support queer people, and the queer section of the dorms was closed, so that my spouse had to move back home and into abuse. As well as being trans, my partner is also black with a white mother who disconnected them from black culture and knowledge. My partner is also indigenous and has an Arabic sounding name, increasing their chances of getting profiled and targeted. This is unfortunately something we are seeing more and more of in the US. There is a very extreme level of profiling. While still in New York, we decided to get married earlier than we had planned so that this could provide us some protection in our hearts and minds, but also in the eyes of the law. We do not wish to be separated ever again, and I refuse to believe that we will not get to hold each other. Thanks to the support of one of my roommates, I can cover a studio apartment in Ohio for my partner with benefits. However, my income is low and my partner, of course, has no credit after escaping home, and no landlords have been willing to accept our application. So what's next? They're looking for advocacy and they're looking for support. Essentially, they want to get the partner into Canada. And at the moment, it is proving very, very difficult to get partners into Canada who are transgender, because Canada is largely refusing to accept that there is a need for asylum claims from the US. And if you can't afford it, i.e. you're on benefits, you have very little chance of being able to allow any form of relocation on a permanent basis. And as we heard in this case, even a visit. So we'll be following them over the course of the next 6 months, 8 months, to see how they get on. On our next episode, we'll be looking at the case of a trans person who has escaped the US and is currently going through the asylum process in Ireland. We've chosen them because there is in no way any chance that we can influence them, or influence the case with what's going on here right now. The US has become increasingly a dangerous place, and we will be following these cases because of that, because the fear of repatriation for some now is the fear of literally a death sentence. It's going to get worse before it gets better for citizens in the US, and it is really, really important that our community here in Europe stands with them and does what they can to support. I know this has been a bit of a dark episode, but there is going to be light at the end of the tunnel. There are laws changing already in the US. There is pushback on Trump's agenda, and the courts are not allowing the president to have it all his own way. And I think that's a very important point to remember here, that we aren't going to go down without a fight in the US. We're certainly not going to go down without a fight in the UK. So, till the next episode, please take care.
Shay's Coffee Break on Shout Out Radio.
The Shout Out Podcast.
It's a very nice record.
Yeah. When are you going back to Japan?
I mean, get me on the next flight after hearing that.
I don't think you were born when that song came out.
No, I wasn't.
Was it 1995, was it?
Was it the 80s?
It's 1990s, I think.
Yeah, I think early 90s.
I think I'm going to return to ignorance instead of innocence for that song. So I don't have to know about it.
It is a nice song. It is so, a nice
or alternatively, song. Next week you get Mad Fabulous with us. Oh, or something you missed.
I know. Don't worry, it's in my diary. On Sunday.
Oh. Yes, got a very special shout out coming next week for you.
Yeah, we have. It's going to be lovely.
All about the film called Mad Fabulous that's part of the Irish Film Festival we went and saw a few weeks ago, me and Tara. Tara, absolutely, you didn't like the guy, did you, Tara?
No,
we're
here today.
The character.
Yeah, the character. Yeah, the actor's amazing. He's a brilliant actor. But yeah, long story short, it's about the fifth Viscount or Marquess. I forget which one it is.
He burned through so much money. It was ridiculous. And apparently there's a freezer. I can't remember what it is now. It falls from him.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, basically, it's a really good film. It's coming out at the beginning of June. Ironically, it's competing with He-Man. Which is going to be quite funny.
I can assure you that.
No. But long story short, basically, he grows up in Bohemian France with his mum. And it's this kind of like 1800s. Think like Downton Abbey kind of era.
Bridgerton type?
Bridgerton more, actually, probably. And he comes back to the estate, which is the Isle of Anglesey, the whole Isle of Anglesey.
Yeah, there's a little bit of art a manipulation of the true story.
There is, but you hear that because I interview the writer and she tells us that.
Yeah.
But long story short, it starts with the opening scene of him sailing to the island in a boat, in a full dress and pearls,
maroon.
maroon
okay,
dress.
Diva.
Yes.
Okay.
So I have photos Slaps of me and Tara in pearls as well from the event. And yeah, long story short, he basically, I mean, you know what the ton is like if you ever seen Bridgerton. He's very much anti-ton and very much bohemian and brings it to the island and tries to spend all of his money and has a very good time. But yeah, it's got funny bits, it's got sad bits, it's got awful bits.
The butler was amazing.
Go on, what's his name?
Sorry, slipped from my head again. Yeah, he just plays this role where he's in the background, but he's so present.
Yeah.
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 So one to watch.
Yeah, one to watch. Yeah, but we've got a special show on it next week because Ez is going to do a queer story about the actual history behind it. And then I've got an exclusive interview with a lovely lady who wrote it.
Wow.
It's all Welsh. That's the other thing to remember. It's funded by Wales.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's not in Welsh.
Yeah, I was going to say, God.
It's English language,
now.
Yes. but it's got Callum Scott Lee, I want to say.
Yeah.
Who you might know from It's a Sin.
Oh, I love that show. Yes. Well, it's quite sad, but it's still good.
It's very sad, yes.
He's got such a Welsh accent, but when he's doing the acting...
Mm.
Playing the Viscount, yeah, it's very posh. Yes, very posh.
Well, did he have a gap?
I think
there?
That's why he annoyed me the most.
Too posh.
But yes, we will have that coming for you next week, and I'll put some of the photos up as well because
I want to see the pearls. Good. Come on,
yeah, and it's then out the following week in cinemas nationally.
Perfect.
So well worth going and see, unless you really want to see He-Man. You know, I mean,
do a double billing.
Yes. Yeah, you do a double bill.
Steph
wants to go see He-Man.
Who plays Skeletor? Is it J.K. Rowling?
Evil Lynn.
I'm going to see The Mandalorian on Friday because it's out.
Oh!
The Baby Yoda! Pedro
Pascal.
Yeah, I don't care about him.
Wow.
Anyway, shall we get some news headlines?
Of course you can. This is Shout Out News. Welcome along. Rainbows have been blooming in parts of South Bristol. Several months after right-wing activists put up St George's crosses and union flags on lampposts and amenity poles in districts of South Bristol, so they have quietly been joined by other flags, including the flags of Europe, international flags and rainbow pride flags. The additions have not seen the originals removed, but have just moderated their effect and transmitted a more inclusive message. No group has claimed responsibility for the flag raising, but many local refugee and LGBTQIA people have expressed gratitude that the new flags have been raised. West Midlands Ambulance Service has confirmed it will not participate in this year's Birmingham Pride Parade, a decision communicated to staff via an internal letter seen by the website Pink News. The correspondence, issued on behalf of the Trust Executive Board, states that the move was not taken lightly. It says that legal advice indicated involvement, quote, could breach political impartiality and create a reasonable perception that the service actively supports specific views. This would be contrary to the protected beliefs of some other people. The letter does not clarify what is meant by specific views or protected beliefs. The board's message elaborates, Birmingham Pride describes itself as a protest until injustice against LGBTQIA plus people everywhere ends and true equality is achieved. As a public sector organisation, we need to ensure that we discharge the public sector equality duty and comply with the principles of public law. A separate note from the Proud at the Ambulance Service Network acknowledged staff disappointment, but they said that they understand the reasoning behind it. The network added that it is organising an alternative Pride celebration for members in June. The letter also indicates sincere apologies from the Executive Board for the late notification of the decision. A West Midlands Ambulance Service spokesman told journalists the Trust can confirm that it has withdrawn from Birmingham Pride, along with the police and fire services, based on legal advice. They added, "We have informed the organisers as to why we are unable to participate, and we will keep this decision under review for next and future years." Birmingham Pride is scheduled for this weekend, this bank holiday weekend, 23rd and 24th of May, with this lineup featuring Katie B, Sigala, Nadine Coyle, Danny Beard and Emily, amongst others. Queer Guru, the LGBTQIA plus arts blog, reports that the Labour government might just perform on certain, by no means all, aspects of protection for LGBTQIA plus people. During a landmark address to both houses of Parliament this week, the monarch delivered the King's Speech, which included a significant announcement regarding LGBTQ rights. The speech confirmed that the government will introduce a draft conversion practices bill designed to prohibit activities to seek, alter or suppress an individual's sexual orientation or gender identity. The proposed legislation targets practices commonly referred to as conversion therapy, which the government classes as abusive behaviour. The bill aims to create a trans-inclusive ban covering both sexual orientation and gender identity. This fulfils a central pledge from the Labour Party's general election manifesto in 2024. By introducing the measure as a draft bill, the government intends to allow for consultation periods, expert contributions and parliamentary scrutiny before it proceeds to formal legislative stages. Officials have indicated that the draft will seek to strike a balance between the ban and the protection of religious freedom of expression, addressing concerns raised by various religious groups about the potential reach of the legislation. The announcement follows criticism from Stonewall, the UK's leading LGBTQ plus advocacy organisation, which, on April the 30th, called out the government for failing to meet its own deadline to publish a draft bill. Simon Blake, OBE, the charity's chief executive, noted that four different prime ministers have pledged to prohibit these practices, and he described the current situation as unacceptable. If enacted, the ban would apply solely to England and Wales. Scotland has not yet passed similar legislation through its parliament, although it published a consultation report on the matter in October of last year. In Northern Ireland, the conversion practices do remain legal, with advocates continuing to campaign for a prohibition. Observers remain cautious about whether this latest attempt will succeed where previous efforts have faltered, given the long history of unfulfilled promises on this issue. And finally, community radio stations in Australia have a long history, longer than in the UK. The government of Gough Whitlam legalised community radio as early as 1974. In the city of Melbourne, the city's LGBTQIA plus radio station, Joy, is preparing for its fundraising day. Their CEO writes, "We're less than a month from the launch of a Joy Radiothon fundraising week. We will have many exciting activities this year and some new surprises as well. Every year we value and appreciate the community's support we receive and how this practical investment propels us to do our very best to be the voice of LGBTQIA people in Melbourne. Please consider sponsoring a show, an event or a presenter during the Joy Radiothon if you're in Australia." Now, Joy started 33 years ago and can be heard around the clock online and on 94.9 FM in the Greater Melbourne area. That's Shoutout News for another week. Why not check out our constantly updated website at shoutoutradio.lgbt for more information and news. We shall see you back here, same time, next week for more. I do apologise. This has been Terry Starr.
That was Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Oh, all you needed was 10 more seconds.
10 more seconds.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Dear erudite listeners, you find us in a post-euphoric mood as we sat up and enjoyed the 70th ever Eurovision Song Contest. The highlight for me, no surprises really, Lordi singing Kisses for Me, but there were other exciting, eventful moments of the night and a very close call for Israel. But it seems next year we might be going to Sofia. Your thoughts?
Look, this is the Eurovision, 70 years young and still an endless fount of surprises. I don't think I've ever called it correctly any year, and this year was no exception. Unusually, you know, in the past, you know, you could sort of identify 5 potential winners, maybe 10 potential winners. But even if you'd identified a very broad field of winners, you would still probably not have predicted this one. This came completely out of left field. Nobody was talking about it. Nobody that I'm aware of was seriously tipping it for the top. And I was surprised that it got through from the semi-finals into the finals. Would have preferred it if some other songs had gone through instead. So that's how low my expectations were for this country and for this act. But it won by one of the most convincing margins, by a landslide. It led on the jury vote the whole night, won that by a comfortable margin, and then more than doubled that by securing a landslide in the public vote. So a very, very convincing win. I wasn't wildly keen on the song, but I did say on the night that the staging was exceptional. It was probably one of the top 3 acts of the night for me in terms of the staging. It was very modern, dance-oriented. The ecstatic moves on the chairs was a sort of feature of some sort of a modern dance. And it was brilliantly staged, very, very well staged. And yet, seemingly, the song carried all before it. And we now have a new word to add to our lexicon, Bandaranga. And hopefully by tomorrow morning, when the band in question and the lyricists face their endless round of world press conferences, and we will find out what it means.
Well, I believe it's the first time Bulgaria has won. So, hello, Sofia. You're going to be able to charge very higher prices next May for hotel rooms, and Sofia Airlines will probably do rather well out of it. It was a close call right at the end. It could have gone one way or the other. At one point, it looked like Israel were going to take the crown.
It's, you know, when you get right down to the end, you know that a lot of countries have got received 0 points from the public. So you know that there's a big load of votes that are going somewhere. It's very often quite hard to tell how many votes are still left in the bag. And there must have been about 400 votes left at the end that went between the two countries. Yes, yeah, so, I mean, Israel was, I think, in about the top 5 on the jury vote. So they didn't pick up a lot of 12 points, but they did pick up very consistent votes all the way along. And as in previous years, did well on the public vote too. And it was a moment of deja vu. Exactly this time last year, also, I think Israel was the runner-up. And I think various broadcasters were having
concerns. I don't know. It was
there was certainly tension around, well, what would it mean for the Eurovision Song Contest? I think in some ways it's been helpful for the integrity of the contest to have worked through the issue of Israel's participation. Certainly when I was thinking about it during the course of the year, the best thing to say at the end of this competition, like anything else, if you want to take part, take part. If you don't want to take part, don't take part. And I think that matter now seems to be quite resolved. I hope it is the case, and I'm sure it will be the case, that Israel is here to stay in terms of its continued participation. If it wants to take part, other countries can decide what they want to do in the light of that. You know, consistently, they have always put up strong acts over the years. It wasn't that long since we were in Tel Aviv celebrating Toy with Netta. They did well this year, and a great performance by Noam, but a very convincing win from Bulgaria.
So this year, Jonathan introduced a new concept to our entertainment. We had the equivalent of the golden buzzer, for those people who watch Britain's Got Talent and other such Simon Cowell-esque TV productions. So during the course of the evening, we had a party popper, and we were all encouraged to pull our party popper for the act that we thought was going to win. Now, Gary, you kept yours right till the end, practically.
I did, but although strangely, it did cross my mind to use my golden buzzer for Bulgaria quite early on, because I do, despite what Jonathan was saying, I think it did have something going for it. I mean, clearly a lot of other people agreed, but I knew that Norway, in my thinking, had the edge on it in terms of its musicality, its catchiness, whatever. So for me, it was between those two. On this occasion, I got it wrong. But nevertheless, you know, Norway still picked up quite a few points as well and ended up in the middle of the board somewhere. I'm not disappointed by the winner or with the winner because I think it was a worthy win.
Absolutely. I think the Norwegian entry had that sort of vibe about it that catapulted Carija with Cha 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 and Baby Lasagna, Rum Tum Tiggy Tiggy, to prominence. And I wondered when we were talking about the fact that if they had a third round of votes, i.e. the jury votes, the country votes, but they gave the votes to the people in the audience at the time, and Jonathan and I have been at a Eurovision final, there is definitely a sway of the mood that some acts just take the crowd with them. And I think, Gary, you chose wisely, because I think of the performances on the night, I think Norway did rather well. Now, Jonathan, your buzzer, your golden buzzer, it was a bit of a premature celebration, shall we say?
I think you probably thought I had a nervous, trigger-happy response. I just couldn't wait. Now, my popper went immediately on the first act. It was actually my favourite. I didn't think it necessarily would win, but it definitely was my favourite song of the night. Denmark. I loved the song on first hearing it, and it stayed in my head all the way through. And when I saw the performance during the week in the semis, it was a fantastic staging, very memorable. Did the song a lot of credit. Funnily enough, I thought the live performance musically didn't sound as good as it did on the CD, the official version. It just, I don't know, I think the recorded version just has a bit more weight and ballast to it, and I came across a bit thinner, I thought, on the night. But I mean, it did do well on the jury vote. I think it was in the top five or something, but didn't do as well on the public vote. Not helped at all by the fact that it was on first, which is Brotherhood of Man did win by a landslide for the United Kingdom from first position. But it's hard when you've got 25 countries competing over the course of quite a long evening to make the same impression from that position. So I think they got hobbled. But I think given the strength or momentum, you know, it's a very strange thing about Eurovision. We do obviously get these very close ties that have happened in the past, but more often than not, it seems as though the whole of Europe or the EBU, you know, in this sort of great kind of Durkheimian sort of collective conscience, just sort of all comes together and in this sort of grand act of consensus to crown a winner. And here I'm going to get very misty-eyed. It's that ability to create consensus out of seemingly nothing that does give substance to the slogan "United by Music." Generally, I do think that in a world where we become more and more polarized and we're being told what to think about everything and to have strong opinions and this and that, here we've got this silly old fun music festival involving millions of votes and millions of people, and amazingly, voila, consensus appears. I think that's quite remarkable and something that is definitely worth celebrating.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That was your Eurovision winner. That was Bangaranga by Dara. Steph, to answer your question, it's Bangarang in Jamaican, and it means a noisy commotion, uproar, riot, or general disorder. So I'm not sure if it means the same thing we put an A on the end, but I suppose it does. Bangaranga.
I think there's a song called Skrillex called Bangarang.
Bangarang. It's been used a bit. It's Jamaican, isn't it?
Jamaican. That's not. I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Cultural misappropriation.
I'm part Jamaican. It's okay.
So, but yeah, no, it was a very surprise ending. So, hopefully, as the years go on, things will settle down and we can go back to just having lots of rainbow flags and enjoying it. So it's going to be interesting seeing Bulgaria next year. They've never won before, first time ever.
I was going to say, it's new, isn't it?
How LGBT friendly are Bulgaria?
Well, next year, very.
Sorry, because it's not up there in the top listeners.
Neither are we, man. But it is. We're number 22.
Well, there was a time when we were one as
well. Yeah. 10, 15 years ago.
Now, Steph, you've got some of the latest for us, I believe, have you? Because we've been kind of talking trans stuff all the way through the show. Of course, it's a very big day today.
Well, the guidance has been re-released and it's taken quite a while, but this is only guidance and it's not law. There's another 40 days at least to go yet because it got to go in front of MPs. The BBC absolutely appalled me. It came up on the BBC news feed, and it was like reading the Daily Telegraph. They've written it like it's law, and trans people are now banned from using loos. Now, one thing for everyone to remember is there is no law in this country about anyone of any gender or sex using any particular loo.
No. So it's only advice.
Social norms.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It is. So.
And how many toilets do you have in your home that have a gender against them?
One?
Well, I guess how rich.
With a door.
Yeah. Precisely, they don't. Your toilet at home is unisex. Yeah.
You think there's male cleaners in the ladies' loo, there's female cleaners in the.
And all people want to do in the toilet is a pee.
Or a
poo. You say number two on the radio,
sorry,
don't
guys.
So also,
I think you can say poo.
This is not turning into a competition of how many times you can say poo on the radio. Okay,
I was in Bedminster on Sunday watching the rugby, and they had stand-up toilets and sit-down toilets. Nice, simple.
Yeah, they got it everywhere. It was lovely to see the. What's the name? Watershed.
Watershed. Yeah.
They're on the national news.
Yeah, so that is one holistic toilet.
Yes. Same as with the Bristol Old Vic, they've done the same as well. And no one bats an eyelid. You go in, you use the loo, you come out, and you've got men and women washing hands together, just like you do at home.
Guess what? The men have to queue as well.
I really enjoyed that. I was like, now you know how it feels.
but it's breaking, and basically all we're seeing at the moment is lots and lots of people sharing solidarity with the trans community, as we do. I mean, so many of us here are trans, not me personally.
I think people have just got to spend the money where it's where people are being respectful, to be honest. Yeah. I think we've got to get to the user power of the pound again.
Yeah, we used to call it
Well, there's 40 days, and I reckon that there's a lot of MPs. Nadia Whittam, who's a really big supporter of the LGBTQ community, especially the trans community, put a statement out an hour ago. Well, it appears that government has successfully pushed back on some particular harmful elements in the previous draft. The new code of practice will still lead to the exclusion of trans people from services and facilities that they have used without issue for a very long time. 10 years ago, there was no issue with trans people using anything or everything. Why is it now an issue?
In 2025, I believe there were two complaints in the UK.
Yeah. So the reality is, what's happening in the UK at the moment is there's a certain organisation, Sex Matters, that are challenging other organisations to push back and threatening them with legal action to make this happen.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening, and people are scared to get sued.
Yeah,
they are.
Because that's the reality, happened to therapy, it's happened to sports.
Because they're funded by J.K. Rowling, well, they have the money.
So you saw their funding, it was £1.2 million last year.
Yep.
Where did that money come from?
Yep.
Hate money. Mm. Let's be honest, what could that be done for LGBT youth?
Yes, very true.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no. I'm not disagreeing with you. But I mean, so far there's lots of things coming out. I was surprised by the BBC as well. They make it sound like it's in law. It's very much not. If you listen, and even if it does become law, which hopefully it won't, like You said it's not law because there's no law of evidence. I could go use the women's and it's not against the law.
No, so the police won't be able to.
My mum has made me get her into the gents when we've been at places like the Hampton Court Flower Show and the queue for the ladies has been 30 log and there's no one in the bend.
And we can't get challenged. There's no the challenging process. You no longer all that.
But the police can't prosecute. So there's no law. So there is no legal basis for it. It's guidance, and if it's signed off as a matter of law, the police still won't be able to do anything because being trans is a protected characteristic.
Yes, and I didn't like that either. They said gender reassignment, didn't they? Whereas I thought the modern term was gender affirmation.
It's gender affirmation.
Yeah, but people who are writing things like that don't care. No. You know, you wait to the front pages tomorrow in the right-wing press.
If you get
press.
Published, you're making money, aren't you? Let's be honest.
Well, I mean, those that are supportive are still digesting it as well. Lots of statements have come out in solidarity saying, you know, we just got it. It's breaking news and we're digesting it and we'll come back. And that's everyone from Pride to a lot of the big organisations like Mermaid and the like. And
I think the scary bit, though, is where it's projecting a certain image of what a woman should be. And I think that's even scarier as well. It's like every woman's going to get affected by this.
Well, I mean, we've had plenty of reports of people who are heterosexual or homosexual, women who don't look a particular way, don't conform to the norms, who get challenged and said, you're not allowed in here, you're trans. And it's like, no, I'm not trans.
There's been women that have been on treatment for cancer, so have lost their hair and have been kicked out of toilets by security guards, things like that. It's happening, and it's affecting heterosexual women as well. So
I think it's important you know what your power is as a human being, your entitlement, and actually don't listen to this stuff. And I think that's the most important part. And I think young people struggle with that a little bit, to take ownership.
I definitely think there's a disconnect there.
Yeah,
because it's like, you know, that especially in like a lot of friendship groups in the younger age range, they're like, but we all love trans people, why would we have a problem with it? Like, well, obviously we're just gonna,
it's the 40 pluses.
It's not the kids.
Can we say a big hello to not in our name, because they keep sharing our posts, we keep sharing their posts. It's lovely, and they're growing and growing in support. So it's lovely to see, you know, that there are some people helping to fight back as well. So hello if you are part of the not in our name, it's lovely to see. Anyway, fun show coming next week. But for now, that is it for this week. If you have an event or a story, or perhaps you'd like to get involved in the radio with us here at Shout Out, do get in line. Check us out online and get in touch, is what I meant to say.
Well, all of our shows are also available as podcasts on all your good services, as well as our website. It's shoutoutradio.lgbt.
And it's back on iTunes as well. We fixed that too.
There we go. So there's no excuse. You better listen.
Next week, Shout Out goes mad fabulous. You've got to join us for that. It's going to be so much fun. From myself, from Terry, from Steph, from Ez, from Tara, and the lovely Darren, who's back from Japan. Say bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.